Elizabeth Lash Quinn is our guest here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with her in Syracuse, New York. You talked about a hopelessness. As I listened to you, there is this sense that we replaced a phenomenal focus on the rights of white people with a focus on what was in effect black extremism. What happened to an integrated democratic society?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. It's interesting that if you look at the civil rights movement and its great hopes, remember, it was full of songs. People sang these wonderful songs, the words of which many of us still remember. I was only 5 or 6 at the time, but we marched in the marches, learned the music, and the music is with me now.
And those songs have been sung all over the world with other freedom movements. When the Berlin Wall came down, they were singing, "We Shall Overcome."
That's right.
A remarkable way that it has touched the world in a revolutionary way.
Yeah. And remember that at first that song was sung, "We Shall Overcome Someday," and then all of a sudden we started singing, "We Shall Overcome Today." And there was a tremendous amount of hope. And yet, very soon after that, well before King's death, many people had given up on that and were for a much more militant posture. Remember, Stokely Carmichael was speaking about black power well before that. And several of the civil rights organizations had expelled whites before that as well and had decided to turn toward a much more black-oriented sort of pulling together against the rest of the society, that kind of a movement.
One could hear in what you are saying an accusation that black people screwed it up.
No, I don't think so. Not from reading my book.
If they haven't read your book.
Unfortunately, we are in this together from the get-go. And remember that when several of the organizations expelled whites, that was with the approval of some of the whites in the organization. So there was dissension among all the different groups over what the future of the movement would be. And the whites often encouraged and thought it was best to change the movement and change its orientation.
Part of this, it seems like, you know, the notion of integration was oversold. And there was a sense, and particularly, and for all, the legislation was very, very, very important. Voting Rights Acts, Public Accommodation Act, all those things, very important. But the laws were passed and nothing changed. Or it didn't change. You know, I think a lot of us thought that once the laws were passed and once, you know, we'd done something, we were going to pass the threshold, enter a bright new shiny dawn, and live happily ever after in one great integrated, universal environment. And it didn't happen.
But it did happen in some ways.
Mm-hmm. It did happen.
You
two are just going to.
Well, I say that because I will go, when we are in the South, any place in the South, I will look up and I will see black people and white people eating in the same restaurant. I will see black people and white people and Asian people and brown people and yellow. Everybody, the public accommodation part of that has changed this country.
Yes.
So, some things did happen.
Oh, there's no question. But my point is, you know, the expectations, I think, may have been greater than the immediate accomplishments.
Well, that was my point, too, to speak about the change in the civil rights movement and the new focus on black power. So early, in 1966 or so, how could, if you know, voting rights and civil rights acts have just been passed, how could we expect an integrated nation to develop over a matter of several months? And then suddenly we declare that, well, that vision is just not coming to fruition.
We've tried it for 18 months. Doesn't that sound American?
Well, it's a little naive. And I think
it's
that's part
kind
of it.
Quick to rush to that kind of judgment. And also, too, it underestimates just how severely segregated this country was. It was inevitable.
All of it.
Yeah, that some aspects of life would take some time. Now, I'm not saying that we should have had, you know, favored a very gradualist approach. I think the slow response to Brown versus Board of Education and other legislation in some communities were certainly part of what drove others to want much more militant approach.
You are very eloquent in talking about the whole country just had to develop some new muscle memory about living together as an integrated society. That whether you're talking about the South or the North, we didn't know how to do that.
That's right. That's right. We really did not, and in many places do not now. And while there are remarkable signs of places where the society is integrated, and they should be signs of hope for us. They should give us a lot of hope. But there are other places where there's a very high degree of segregation going on still. Sometimes they call it self-segregation, where blacks have decided basically to try to live only among other blacks whenever possible. And I don't think we should settle for that.
Elizabeth Lash Quinn is our guest here on the Paula Gordon Show. I want to come back and talk about this pluralistic society of which you make such eloquent rendering. When we come back in just a moment, Bill Russell and I are here in Syracuse, New York with Elizabeth Lash Quinn. We'll all be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.